All right, we've been live for a hot minute.
For a minute.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, let me try going live with this.
Probably should have to use the restroom before.
Oh shit!
Before this.
Oh. But. Go use the restroom. It's fine. Go.
Is that
go.
Okay?
That's fine.
Right. Out the door. Immediately on your left.
Immediately left.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. This is Adam. This is our friend. So yay! Wait, who's on? Is Terry on? Or is it?
Who else
is
on?
Go use the restroom. It's fine. Go.
Wait, who's on?
It's fine. Out the door.
Say hi. Oh, it's just you guys.
Yeah, because that's what you told us. Oh, today, Christine.
Hey guys. I'm gonna wave at all you guys. Hello. We're the Get Realisms team. Minus one, because he's peeing. TMI. So, yeah, this is a special episode of the Get Realisms podcast. We're starting late because I was late. I had to go pick up Adam, and then after I picked up Adam, I had to go all the way to Kelly's place, which is like in the middle of nowhere, and then set up, and then we had dogs to deal with, and then I had to take allergy meds so that they don't like turn my whole body into hives, because I love dogs, but I'm very allergic to them. That's a real new development, because technically on a scale of 1 to 5, my allergy levels for dogs should be at a 2, but I don't know, it doesn't seem that way. But, oh god. Hi doggies, don't come in!
Yeah. I'm sorry, Buckaroo. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
So, alright, so let's have you kick it off.
Oh, okay.
Wait, you gotta scoot in, you can't see me.
I'll be back.
All right, do your thing.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of Get Realisms. I'm Adam Chase Rennie.
And I'm Christine Chen.
I'm Kelly Penn.
We're doing it, you guys. This is it. So, hi, everyone. Hello. Can I just get in?
Drew has, did the pee come out okay?
Yeah, it came out fantastic.
Yeah. Were you hydrated?
I was, yeah, I'm keeping myself hydrated. Sure.
Yes, his pee was great, guys.
Water champ. So last week, we had you on the show.
Yes.
Last week. And we had a good time doing that. We talked about production design, we talked a little bit about movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked
about storyboarding. Because
production design is in movies.
Yes.
Right. Is it?
Sorry, guys.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Warming up.
We talked about storyboarding. Right. We talked about storyboarding,
yes. Yeah. So we talked about storyboarding. Christine, how do you feel about storyboards?
I love storyboarding. I used to not do any storyboarding. Like the first film I ever made, I was like, let's just show up and just do a wide shot and some mid shots and a close up, because like that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized that doesn't work that way, because the whole point of a storyboard is to have your shots planned out, because every shot should be able to answer the question of why.
Why? Yeah.
So I'm really glad. Like I always refer to this. But our DP at the time, Johnny, was like, why the fuck are you shooting this? Why are you Wes Anderson? And then I really looked at him being like, oh, shit, why am I shooting this? Why is this important? So now I storyboard. At first, storyboards were just my stick figures. You can see some of it on Instagram, actually, on my feed, CCHENMTF. I posted some side-by-side comparisons of some of my old storyboards. They're really awful. Only I can understand them. And then I started to do storyboards where I took a camera, and hopefully if you have access to the location, I would just put in like a stand-in or something, and they would just kind of act out certain things, and then I would basically just take photos of what I thought would be how I would want to shoot it. So like stills, camera is really, really great because it's a lot faster. And the only problem is if you don't have access to your location, that can be a little bit trickier. So then I started to force Kelly to draw things when I discovered she can draw. And so then we would start storyboarding. And I think the hardest thing about storyboarding that I just can't wrap my head around is perspective. Like depth perception or like this is 3D. That's, all my things just look like they're on the same 2D plane. Flat. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, that's a rack focused to the background. Well, in my picture, they just look like they're all the same on the same plane.
Yeah.
And so what Kelly's really good at is she actually can see perspective. And when I tell her, okay, I want this in the foreground, I want these people in the back, she's able to draw it out and looks pretty good. And yes.
Sort of.
Well, it's like really good the first four drawings.
Yeah.
And then her hand starts to hurt and then everything
gets tired. And you're like, and then this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And I'm like, hold on, I'm still on this one frame.
I'm like five frames later, Kelly, you're like, I'm still drawing the first one.
I'm already seven frames back. What are you doing? God damn it.
I said that last time. I always start off strong, but by the end, then mine turns into stick figures.
It feels like,
I'm tired.
Yeah. And that was my problem too with storyboarding because I have no depth perception at all.
Yeah.
So like I'll draw like a suburb and I'm just drawing like a, like, you know, like, you remember, like, Desperate Housewives and, like, how, like, has, like, that, like, colorful suburban, like, cul-de-sac type of thing? I tried to, like, draw that, but, like, to see, like, in a perspective of just looking down the street.
Yeah.
And to just have, like, angled lines is a
it's all thing. It's a thing.
Fucking crisis to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel storyboard artists have, they just have the brain to be able to show just perspective.
And I can't do it on index. Like, there's just no way. I have
y'all
to do it on paper.
Y'all want a tip for if you do ever want to start drawing? So, like, I know the basics of drawing of, like, the house of, like, depth perception is this something, when something's farther away, it looks smaller than something else.
Right.
So, like, a house that is, like, miles away will look like it's inches high.
Yeah, so it's sizing.
Yeah, and then there's also something called a vanishing point. Like, if you're drawing, like, the suburb, like you said,
right.
There's a point where it goes so far, and it gets smaller, where there's nothing.
It's not visible.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, artists will create that vanishing point in the distance, draw a dot, and then lines going out from that dot to show the size difference.
So I see.
Okay. We have two questions before I forget.
Oh,
first of them is, have you used any storyboard software? Yes. I've used something called, I think it's called Storyboard, actually.
I've never heard of this.
The problem is it takes forever, and you also have to go and like shrink the people to the sizes so that they're at the same perspective and stuff. It worked for a little bit. I think I showed you, I did some stuff, but it's like cartoon people and you're very limited in terms of like your, locations
landscape.
And stuff like your landscape and whatnot. It took so long for it to look right. I just got really frustrated. And that's our executive producer outside, whining.
Yes, yeah.
He is really mad that nobody is there to pet him. So, so we have another question about what do you think can make a professional looking film just from basic mirrorless camera and a 1-2 auto lens like 35mm 16? Because I'm planning to make something like this, but the challenging part will be audio. Can you give me practical tips for audio? Yeah, audio is hard.
That's a Christian
so,
question.
Okay. there's a lot of ways you can do audio now with your iPhone, which I heard can you know what? can be useful with your iPhone.
Yeah.
You can. They have plugins, separate plugins where you can plug into like an external mic of some sort, And the problem is that you will have to sync it eventually. And so you should use that as like your production audio. And then the great thing about an iPhone is that you can put it closer and almost have it like a lavalier mic. And eventually you'll sync that sound to the sound of your production audio. But just simply using the audio from the camera is not going to yield good camera audio, because you have to have it further away from your subject matter. And that's where your big problem is that the further away you are from your subject matter, the worse your sound is going to be, because that's where your source audio is. And so what you have to do is have some way to have a lavalier mic that, or a boom mic that is close to your subject. So I would, a Zoom, I used a Zoom H4n for a very, very long time. It's only got two inputs, but if you are only dealing with a boom and maybe one lavalier mic, it may be okay. But a Zoom is relatively affordable. I think Zooms these days run like $100 to $200. I think for an H4n, it may even be cheaper because they've made significantly, yeah, they've made a lot more now.
Yeah.
And what you do is with the Zoom, you attach a Zoom mic and you attach a Sennheiser, some sort of boom mic, a separate source. And you can, if it's just you, you set up a C-stand that's outside of frame and kind of do the sound that way so that somebody isn't there holding it. Or you have a lavalier mic like a Sennheiser G3, I think that's the kind I use, and those are great because then that's pretty much attached to the person and you don't have to deal with it, and just make sure to press record and have a sync slate and sync it later in post. So that's like my really quick way of saying what to do with sound, but you really can't do sound properly with just your camera, because that camera has to be further, cannot always be close to you in terms of the subject, whatever that may be. Even now, like, this is not ideal for our sound because we're close enough and I'm kind of like yelling at the screen so that you guys can hear me. But ideally we would all have mics because that would be as close to our body as possible, and then we would go ahead and sync sound. What if you
Mike's use coming soon to get realism's
question. That's actually perfect. Yeah. What if you use another phone to record? Yeah. I think that's totally great. That's a good idea. If having a phone is your only access to film stuff, then yes, you should use another phone to keep that close to the subject and use the you're still gonna need a source that records out. But you at least can, that sound source is closer to your subject, and then you can resync the sound to your production audio. So yeah, a different phone that's closer would be great. You'll still need to sync the sound, but it would be, that's a great idea. So hi, Rodney, hello guys. Yes, so that's a good question about production audio. We went right in there.
So, they were holding on to that question
for a while. I was like, oh my God, I got to answer that question. So keep asking questions. I'll try to hopefully get to them. I'm like looking at two screens trying to make sure that we answer all the questions. But back to storyboarding.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Drawing, storyboarding art is important.
Point.
Yeah. Vanishing points. Using a storyboard software is great. Oh, you're gonna try the audio tip? Oh, I'm so glad. Tell me how it goes. I hope it works out well. I just think storyboarding is important because when you don't storyboard, what you tend to do is overshoot because you think you're gonna need every single angle in the world, and that's one of the biggest problems I see with first-time directors. I'm an assistant director, and so I work with a lot of directors and helping them with their schedule, and that's one of the biggest problems I see with beginner directors is that they don't do enough prep, and so they have no clue.
Every angle
exactly. They have no clue what they actually want to shoot or need to shoot, and so they're just like, just shoot everything. Let's shoot wides, close-ups, 10 close-ups. Right. And as an editor, you're just like, it's a nightmare because I'm only going to choose one or two
because
shots.
Because it's like 57 angles in one scene.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm not going to cut to that. But if I already know, like, I am going to need a wide shot for this because, yeah. And then I'm going to go to cross mid shots and whatever. Then I can reduce that 57 setups to 3.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's whatever makes it into post, and that's the problem, I think. If you don't storyboard, you go in not knowing what you absolutely have to film, and then you shoot way too much and waste everybody's time, and that's when your budgets and time go over, and everybody ends up having to work 15-hour days, and nobody's happy. So
with the storyboard, you're all on the same page.
Yeah, with the storyboard, you're on the same page. And the great thing about a storyboard is I can literally point to a picture and be sorry, I don't know how to use my words, but you can see this picture. This is what I want. So,
yeah, it definitely seems like a lot of first-time directors, like, if they're not visually inclined, a lot of times I'll hear phrases like, well, can I see it first? Like, they want to see the shot from that angle before deciding yes or no. And if they already have the storyboards ahead of time, they would be like, all right, yes, this is what the shot is going to look like. Yes, we're going to do that. No, we're not going to do that other one. You know, instead of kind of shopping for shots, I guess you could say. I always call it shopping around.
Yeah, shopping around for a shot is bad. I mean, you can do it because the problem is with film is, like, there's not, like, one answer. It's, like, in a lot of times.
It's circumstantial.
Hi, Ronnie. Yes, I will AD your next film. So a lot of times it's that the location can inspire you. The lighting can inspire you. So it's not entirely correct to say you can't shop around, because sometimes that's the way you find inspiration. But having some sort of structure will significantly help you reduce the amount of time that you just waste and fuck around, basically. There was another question. It was, what's a good way to get funding for a film? Ha ha! Let us know when you figure it out.
Yeah. Right. Have rich friends.
Just kidding. There's no right or wrong answer again.
Buy some Tesla stocks.
How I've been able to donate your blood.
Yeah, donate your blood.
I've done multiple different ways.
Yeah.
And sell drugs.
Sell drugs.
Don't do that, kids.
You know, it could work.
just sell drugs, guys. Please don't. No quote. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Because then you could end up in jail. That would be really bad.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you go about making money and doing that? So first thing would be work on other people's sets. The great thing about working on other people's sets is that's a great way to network and really form relationships with people. And when you form relationships, it's a lot easier to ask people for help for free. So, or like as I scratch your back, you scratch my back type of thing. So don't go in and be like, sweet, I'm just gonna make these relationships and then I'm going to ask and milk them for all their worth and then never return the favor. That doesn't work either. So go in and, you know, I make a lot of relationships with my crew. One of the things I love is that I run a production company. And so sometimes I will have guaranteed jobs that actually have pay. And so one of the ways I go about it is, like, I'll say, hey, I personally don't have money on this passion project. However, I know that I'm about to shoot 2 commercials and I need a sound mixer. Can I guarantee you that job where you can actually get paid for real and then come help me out and work on my film? So, and then the other thing is many male filmmakers are so competitive, though it's hard to build trust at times. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think, yes, trust is hard to build, but I think if you can give value first before you ask for value, then you will definitely get help.
Yeah.
So figure out how you can help that person out before you ask for any sort of favor.
Yeah.
That is a huge thing. So
they remember that.
So I've AD'd stuff for free. I've helped produce a lot of stuff for free. And when people ask me questions about film stuff, I'm very happy to answer those questions, and I'm always available. And so I will give someone value before I even think about asking somebody for help. And so just, I think that's always a good rule of thumb. Yeah. And Kelly, I mean, all you guys have the same thing. You guys have done art things, and that's a value that you can, that you guys bring and are able to like donate. And then if you are, when you make your own film or you need recommendations for some other people or whatever, then other people are willing to be like, oh, sweet. Well, Kelly helped me on the other thing. So I'll if I can't help out, I'll find somebody that might need the, you know, need experience to help out. So,
Well, and the thing is too, it's like, there's competition.
Yeah.
But there's never ever one prize, is there? There's lots of jobs out there.
Yeah, there's lots of jobs.
So,
I think
you might get one thing, but the next day you won't. So you're just going to have to, it's a give and take. It's like you have to
share
resources to better other people, because bettering other people will better yourself in the long run. It's the long game. It's not the short game.
My DP for the next film that I'm starting in a few weeks just commented that they need we need a second AC. So if anybody would like to be a second AC,
let us know. Podcasts.
Yeah, DM me. And unfortunately, we'll have to be a volunteer position. So if you are trying to learn and get in to do anything with camera and you like to be a second AC, let me know. Just DM me or message or whatever. Yes. See, Keo asked.
What typically entitles that second AC, Christopher?
Oh, what is a second AC? Please know what a second AC is before you actually volunteer. But second AC does like the slates. They take notes. They really work with the first AC and the DP on anything camera related. That varies significantly. So if you want, we're shooting on an Arri Alexa, a mini. And so if you have that experience, that would be great. I'd like to be the same. Oh, well, cool. Yeah, DM me. Wow, that actually worked. Just kidding.
Yeah, that worked. Wow.
Yeah, just DM me. The dates? Oh, it starts on June 29th to July 15th. And it is shooting in Bryan, Texas. So, nice. But yeah, DM me or whatever. We'll figure it out.
That was quick.
Send me a letter.
I missed one question, and the question was, how do you learn Adobe Premiere with editing and stuff like that? So,
I'm just starting to learn.
Maybe I know I have an answer, but let's hear from somebody who's starting.
Like just beginning. Like the best thing to.
Use your words.
No, because what I'm about to say is not technically legal. Okay, here's what you can do. You can take some like your favorite like I don't know cooking shows on YouTube. Okay, let's just take that for an example. I use random videos and sometimes I'll just intercut them and I'll put music laying it over and I just cut my own series of just shots of like food or something, whatever that I want to create, just to practice.
Yeah,
like I want to see what I can manipulate and what I could do. So like if I could, let's say, like, you know, go back into Adobe Premiere Pro and let's say I want to shorten Michael Keaton's Batman. Not saying that it should be shortened, but let's say I could, I would essentially just cut out and play around with any tools that I possibly can. So like if I can manipulate an image or I can mirror an image or cut back, whatever it is, try out every single tool. So like go into the formats and just start like going through each and every tool and stuff. And also this podcast helps with working with Premiere Pro. Start a podcast, you know?
That is a good idea.
Start a video podcast and edit at your own will. Just take some YouTube videos and just start cutting and practicing your own stuff.
So practice.
Just practice, yeah.
To add on to that, YouTube, you can pretty much find everything. Because Polly's learned how to edit as well. So just literally type in basics for Adobe Premiere and you can learn anything
like
with
a quick
Premiere.
11-minute video.
Yeah, there's a million videos. That's how if I'm troubleshooting, because like for some reason Adobe Premiere and all that, they all have their own brains, and so like sometimes something works one day and somehow the next day it totally doesn't work. And so you just have to I Google so much to say like, oh, okay, let me look up this new problem that I didn't know about, and usually Google or YouTube will find it. So yeah, that's great is practicing your own stuff. Skip school, use YouTube. Yes.
Skip school, use YouTube.
And honestly, there's programs too where it's literally just editing. So
you don't
need to go to film school where it's like an all-encompassing thing. There's stuff like Austin School of Film, for example, that has very specific classes for just that topic. And I find that to be even better when you can narrow down what it is that you want to supplement. So I still do stuff like that. I recently, not too long ago, took a animation class because I don't know anything about animation. So I took an animation class at Austin School of Film. And so you can, there's online courses as well. I think Stack Skills has some stuff, and I forgot what are the other ones, but there's online courses that are very, very easy to do. I feel like I keep missing people's questions because they're like floating up really fast. I think the other, I can scroll through questions. Oh my God, look at that. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm like a grandma. Okay.
You're so bad at technology.
You know what? Fuck y'all. Okay. What are the dates? Okay. Here are the dates for the, film that needs a second AC. June 29th to July 15th. June 29th to July 15th. So it's coming up. It's very soon. I use Resolve. Okay, second question was, I use Resolve for grading and Premiere for editing. Any time-saving tips working between them? Grading. Okay, that's what I do, too. I just export XML files between the two. So for Premiere, I just export an XML file, and I bring that into Resolve so that I don't have to export, like, a full file and then go in. But they link up with each other. I don't know if that's what you're already doing, but through Premiere, just file export XML, then you re-import it into DaVinci, and it should link up perfectly for coloring. So hopefully that helps.
I hope you got that.
But if you just look up Premiere to Resolve XML on YouTube, you'll find a million things about that. So. But that's what I do too. I do all my grading through Resolve, and then I edit through Premiere as well. Let's see here. Do you have any vacancy for a run and gun film? I'm planning to come to USA, but I don't have any resources. Unfortunately, we're also indie filmmakers, and we somehow are making it barely. But I think the best way to start. Go to a city that has a film school in it. UT, for example, Austin is the reason why people come to Austin is because University of Texas is one of the strongest film schools. And that's what I did when I came to Austin specifically because I knew there was a really good film school involved. So what happens when there's a film school? There are students making films that can't pay anyone. But they need people, and it's so easy to get on those film sets because they just want help.
Yeah.
So that's the way to get into the network. And we are real examples of that. I came into Austin knowing zero people. I produced two student feature films. Everybody in on that set, I'm still friends with, and that's how I met the majority of the people that I work with today. It's literally, that was like the spoke hub. That's the hub, and then the spokes for the network of meeting other people. So
don't go to film.
Team Deacons. I listened to that podcast by Roger Deacons, but Deacon says that for him, film school worked well because there was a built-in network, and he learned a lot by meeting a bunch of people. So that's what the good thing about film school is that there is a built-in network, a built-in guaranteed network, and there is also a guaranteed structure. So we were just talking about structure when I was driving this dude over here. Yeah. So some people need built-in structure. Some people can create their own structure. There's no right or wrong. If you're somebody who, if somebody isn't telling you there's a due date next week and you can waste your time forever, then you might need structure and you might need to go to school for that structure, because the real world doesn't really have deadlines most of the time. So you're going to need
especially
to,
in quarantine.
Yeah.
When you're in quarantine, you ain't got shit.
Yeah, especially in quarantine. You can just waste your whole quarantine.
Yeah.
So, like, I am anal when it comes to to deadlines. I have this little book, and I'm like, all right, I need it. I have set these little goals. I set weekly goals. I set daily goals. I set hourly goals. Like, I set a bunch of goals. Yes. I know it's annoying, guys.
Well,
I'm a little bit of an overachiever.
Open up your calendar.
For you.
Just open up your calendar app, and it's lit up.
Yeah, so that's how I would say in terms of if you do come to the U.S., go somewhere that you know has a film school, and just look on Craigslist and Facebook forums for people.
I'm not going to lie. Austin's a good city for that.
Another good city for that is Atlanta, because all the jobs are going there, because that's where the best film incentives are, and everybody's shooting there. So
L.A., New York,
go to Atlanta.
Expensive.
Don't go to L.A. Too expensive. New York, too expensive. Over-saturated. You're not going to be able – you can, but it's very difficult to make it with zero money and no connections. It's a lot easier to make it if you go in with a resume already. Like, you have a resume, you can apply to things. And that's how I survived when I was in L.A. for about 3 months. I had editing experience, a lot of that. And so when I got there, I didn't have to work for free. I had a whole portfolio. Somebody was looking for, $15 an hour for editing. It's like totally minimum wage. But I took it, and I was able to make a bunch of connections and parlay that into other opportunities. So, but that's because I already had experience. So that's why LA was easier for me. But if you go there knowing nothing, it's pretty hard because rent sucks. So.
And it requires a high.
Yeah.
Very high.
High income. Okay. Waving to people. And then let's see here. Waving to a few more people. There's another question, which was...
I waved to everyone.
What do you think L.A. culture? Okay. I used to go there. Yes, yes. So we kind of did it.
I used to live there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Adam used to live, kind of. You lived in...
I lived in Pasadena.
Yeah.
I lived in Pasadena for 3 months, or 5 months, and for a whole summer. And working in L.A. is... It's an absolute nightmare unless you are totally okay with driving and being in the car for like four hours at a time. Because all you're doing is sitting in traffic. And that's why podcasts, like when I was in LA, I had no friends like at all. I had my roommate and he was an ass.
I don't know if you still have friends right now.
Not really. Not really. I don't even know you guys. But,
who are you?
I just showed up. No, but I... working in LA, like that's how I got into podcasts, was just driving in traffic and just listening to any and every podcast that I possibly can. And I did, just because every day I'm commuting 3.5-4 hours every single day.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, I was only working at Best Buy. And then I moved from Best Buy. I just only did retail. Working in the industry in LA, like, I can't even wrap my head around
it. It's hard. It's
because a friend of mine is a PA for A&E.
Yeah.
And he said it's hell. It's hell. Like no one wants everyone hates their job.
And I think the biggest thing to know is that a lot of things don't actually shoot in LA. They all go outside and shoot elsewhere where there's
all over the world
tax incentives and it's cheaper. There's a lot of red tape when you shoot in LA or New York. Permits for everything that are difficult to obtain that often cost money. And I know a lot of people guerrilla style it and run away from cops, but cops there know about people who are filming. So they're not as relaxed as if you were to shoot in like Shreveport, Louisiana, where they're like, oh my God, where they're excited that you're filming
something.
Like, and they're like, can we be in it? Yeah. No, cops are ticket people when they are shooting. Like, we had a plan. When I was in LA, we were shooting a music video. We had a plan as to what would happen if cops showed up. We would run really fast. We had we had a getaway.
That is the worst. Coming from a guy who ran from the cops, worst idea.
We had a getaway plan. We were shooting on Venice Beach. And
it's not much of a plan.
It's just not a plan.
It was a great plan.
That's just terrible institution.
Luckily, no cops stopped us, probably because we looked like student filmmakers or who knows what. We kept it pretty like chill.
Is that where your go-to excuse
away from cops?
No, that we're just students.
Yeah. Oh.
We didn't know.
That would have been my excuse. Like, oh, I'm sorry, officer. I don't know what I'm doing.
I use that excuse all the time.
Yeah.
Because I look like I'm 18. I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know where that excuse, just came from having had to use the excuse and it working all the time. So then I just kept using it. So and whatnot. But yeah, LA is super saturated. It is difficult to survive there unless you have some skills.
Right.
Go to places like Austin, places with film schools, places that have great tax incentives. Like Atlanta, New Orleans, for example, that have a lot of work. What do you think about wedding films after movie social ads for companies? Oh man, I can go into a whole conversation about this because wedding films and because only because I did it. I started in that actually.
Shooting weddings.
Yes.
Yeah.
I started shooting weddings. I don't anymore. Yeah. Thank God. nothing wrong with wedding videos. I thank all my past clients who I shot wedding videos for. So, yes, it's a good starter point. The problem is it's easy to be sucked into that and to be stuck in it forever because the money is good. It's consistent and there will always be people getting married. And the problem is they are very high stress and there is almost so many things you can do with a wedding video. You shot a few with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, would you read my script? Yes, just DM me. I will. Yes.
She's also working while we're trying to do it.
it's the golden shackles yet again, you know, like it's nice to make that $500 for that time that you're shooting, but then, they a little bit of your heart kind of dies a little bit, but it's okay. Like if you need to do that to survive, by all means, do wedding videos. My production company still does corporate videos, commercials and stuff. We just shot a bunch of stuff for University of Texas, actually. I think commercials are the best. We all work in commercials.
Yeah.
It's great. Commercials are run by giant corporations that have money. And they actually can pay you for your time.
Yes.
And they pay so
well. Even SPAs.
I know. They pay so well that we're like, wow, we're doing like 5% of the work that we usually do on a film set and getting paid five times as much. Yeah. It's great.
Which doesn't mean we're not working hard. It just means they have enough money to have enough people for all those positions. Right. So you're not having to work three jobs in one.
Yeah.
You're just only having to work that one. And get paid.
It's lovely. It's man, working a commercial job is so nice.
But, and there's no shortage of it.
But that's the thing, though. Like, it's so easy.
Yeah.
Ooh, let's not do that. It's so easy to get shackled to that, to forget why you're in the industry to start with. Because it is nice to.
Hey. Sorry. I knew that was his head off.
I was trying to scoot in more. I'm trying to get so. Look, he's
I can only
so
go so much without man spreading.
It's just, especially when you have kids, or I don't have kids, but if you had kids, or you have a family, or a boyfriend, or something like that, like
it can interfere.
It's easier to have something stable to support yourself. And that's the whole thing. And then you're going to do 10 commercials and you're going to forget like, oh shit, like I went into the film industry to make films, you know?
That's what
And there's nothing wrong with commercials. You can make a great career doing commercials or doing wedding videos or corporate stuff. Mm-hmm. It's, but you have to, and people's priorities change. So maybe you go in and you realize you love doing commercials or you love doing wedding videos, and then that's awesome. But for me specifically, my priorities never changed. I love making films, and that's what I want to do. So I had to remember, yeah, I'm paying the bills better and easier through wedding films, but am I actually growing as a filmmaker? Am I actually getting to do what I want to do? And I think after you've done, like, I think I did like 30 or 40, 50, maybe 50 weddings at least, you know, it's just, you'll feel it. You'll be like, it's the same thing. It's a job.
Yeah.
And I'm missing what I wanted to do, which is being creative and making films. And so you just have to remember that. And so I think what's great about working with other people and having a production company like Moth to Flame is that you're always constantly with people that challenge you and remind you about doing the stuff that you started to do in the beginning. So Jason Cates, who's not on this podcast right now, who's part of the creator of Get Realisms, he would always come up and bring these little like competitions for us and be let's make this little 1 minute short. And together we're like, sure, why not? Like, we'll make something and have, and do something, you know, for fun. And we'll do it and we'll be reminded, like,
yeah,
man, this mm-hmm. is why we did films.
Why do it?
This is why we're doing it, you know? And so, you have to force yourselves to do the work that may not pay at that time to get you to the point where you can get paid on the stuff that you actually want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong with wedding videos or corporate stuff or commercials, because mm-hmm. we all do them so that you got to survive and eat, mm-hmm. you know? It can't always be art for the sake of art. Hopefully eventually it will be, but in the beginning it won't be. That's the reality of it. And then as you do more and more, and then you use your off time, your weekends, to make the stuff you want to do, to continue to hone those skills, people will start to notice and start asking you to do those things, you know? So yeah, nothing wrong with starting off doing wedding videos and corporate videos. We all did that.
Start somewhere.
We all did that. We're still doing that.
Yeah.
It's better than working the 9-to-5 retail.
Exactly. That's the one thing you have to think about.
It's way
better. Is that what are you willing to sacrifice? And when it comes down to it, on the worst days of these jobs, it is still better than the best days on some other jobs.
Yep. Yes.
So we're cool with that. That's a sacrifice we are very willing to make. So let me see here. We have a bunch of things that just popped up. Okay. The next question. Hey, peeps, if any of you indie filmmakers want to get your music approved, DM me. Okay, cool. We'll do that. Thank you. I'll DM you. I've been doing logos for the past 2 months. Yeah, don't worry about it, man. Like, we get it. It's totally okay. Do what you need to do to make the money. Just remember, you have to take the time that you might be tired and would rather just go out with your friends and make things that are true to you. Like, you need to do that to remember to keep doing film stuff.
Well, here's something. That's the thing also with, like, working these jobs that pay, like, a commercial or a wedding or whatever. Sometimes it is okay to say no.
Yes.
It's like, you don't have to say yes to every single job that comes your way, because you're afraid that if you say no, it'll just stop happening.
Yeah.
That's not a thing. I mean, if you are working and you've made connections with these people, you know, and you do a good job, jobs will come around. You don't have to say yes every time. You can say no and take a break and do that creative project you want to work on.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's okay to say no.
That's a reminder. Yes. Yeah, it's okay to say no here and there.
And we've all been there where we felt like FOMO is a real thing. Fear of missing out. And you're going to overwork yourself. And you're going to, that's the thing too, burning out and trying to take everything. And that's the thing too, like, sometimes saying no as well helps stick to your principles of how you should be paid, right?
Yes.
And so sometimes saying no because to a lower paying project because they're used to that, because you allowed them to at that point because that you were starting off. But you can nicely say it. You don't have to be a dick about it. You can just be like, hey, you know, I'm getting a lot of work right now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm increasing my rates so that I can have more time to do other things. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to refer you to someone mm-hmm. that might be interested in this opportunity, you know, type mm-hmm. thing. And chances are if they really love your work,
They'll invest
yeah. in it. You know, it's like it's like when you buy anything.
Yeah.
You know, the car that you really want that's just a little bit more, or the car you're like, eh, like you're going to figure out how to make it work. And
yeah.
for any project, it's yeah. like that. If they really, really want you, they will figure it out. You know, but if they can't, then they'll tell you like, oh shit, like we just can't. And then you're like, it's cool. Like, thank you for the opportunity. Let me help you. Let me give you value.
Yes.
Let me help you find somebody. I hate when people get mad at people for trying to give other people a job because it's not high enough in terms of.
I get it.
They feel insulted. So. Oh. So I see this on forums all the time, and yeah. somebody will say, hey, I'm looking for a camera op for $300 a day.
Yeah.
And then they get, like, hate mail immediately. Like, a bunch of people yeah. commenting, be like, that's not a proper way to pay camera ops. Like, you're such a douche for charging that. Okay, I get it. Okay, I get paying people for what they're worth, but if you have to be on the other side to realize that sometimes that's not possible. Like, as a producer, you really... It's an intention thing. Yes. If you're living in a mansion and you've got a car and you're living a great life and you're telling people to work for free, okay.
Yeah.
There's a problem there.
It's yes. a problem. Yeah.
Now, if you are suffering and you're also a filmmaker and you just don't have money and you're saving up every little bit and you're eating ramen and you tell people, hey, I can only pay $200 a day, hey, as I'll long as you treat your people with respect, that you show them that they're worth it, that you value their time, and you make sure that they understand that you appreciate them, I will take that job. You know, like, if I have the time, I will take that job. And it, you shouldn't jump on people who can't pay $1,000, $800 a day or whatever. Like, it's great,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the reality. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
And you probably also shouldn't shit on a job offer that might be really important
to somebody else. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, everybody needs to start somewhere, right? I've worked we've all worked yeah. so many free gigs. Not even funny. Now we have the privilege to say, yes. hey, yeah. we've worked in this industry for 10 plus years and thank you for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't work for those rates anymore. However, congratulations on your project. Let me find somebody who's starting off that might do a great job that I can refer for you, you know? Do that. Don't be a dick. Yeah.
And also, if you say no, like you've been saying, always offer other people instead.
Yes.
Don't just give say no and say goodbye.
Unless you know that producer or whatever is dickhead, then like, okay. You know, like, if you know that the guy or whatever is a sexual predator or anything, right. that's
no point.
No, yes, that's a no. I'm going to warn everybody yep. and blacklist yes. you. But, like, yes. anything else, like, if I can see that you mean well and this is really all you can pay, I will try my best to find somebody, if it's not me, to help your set. And I think that should be how it goes.
For any
positions, yeah, because that position could mean the world to somebody else. So,
right.
Yes, I hope we get to do what we love to do for always. Do you have any tips for individual filmmakers to get clients, get deals done, and take off it? You know what? Sometimes specs are really good to do. They always say, like, it's funny, I'm teaching a class for actors right now about creating your own opportunities. And sometimes you have to show that you can do those gigs to get those gigs. sometimes that means doing some spec work to prove that you have that kind of content, because it's hard to sell yourself when you don't have a reel or a resume that shows that you can do that kind of work. Like, you would hope that somebody would take that faith in you, but you got to think of it from the other end. They're investing a lot of money in whatever project, and if they can't see that, hey, they don't know you. Yeah. So I've done plenty of stuff on the weekend with friends being like, hey, I want to show that I can do big commercials. Mm-hmm. Clearly I don't have that in my reel. So let's make our own commercial, you know, let's shoot something with a drone, show that we can do that. Let's show something with a Steadicam or whatever. And then we get together. It's a bunch of us that are friends, that are nothing better to do anyway. And we can all use it in our reels. And hey, somebody might see that and be like, oh, I can visualize that you can do my project as well. That's why we do free stuff and work on passion projects all the time. So I would say that's probably one of the best ways to get clients.
And also,
what'd
you do?
I don't know. Okay, there you go.
Also, going back to student films.
Yeah.
Like, I did a couple of those student films for free. And they, like, but that was the thing. It was like, I wanted to put in set dressing in my resume.
Exactly.
I wanted to put in that time and that practice. Now, I'm not a full working set dresser. Mm-hmm. Like, I still would need those PA gigs and stuff. Mm-hmm. But building that experience definitely helps.
Yeah, yeah.
And even doing those shitty jobs, going back to a 9-to-5 job, fucking 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather be a PA and drive someone's bitch ass, you know, at 5 in the morning than wake up and get yelled at by a boss.
Yeah.
So
it's priorities.
Priorities.
What do you want? What do you want to do? What do you like to do? So
exactly.
So yeah, create your own opportunities. If you have a certain client that you want, make something. It's going to be for free and you can do it for spec, but now you have something in your resume, you can show that client, hey, look, here's an example of something that you're doing. And then usually it's a lot easier to sell to those clients. It's, you know what? This is a great time to do stuff like that. It's quarantine, or a lot of businesses are really looking for help to jumpstart their company. So it's, I think it's a very easy sell to go to a company and say, hey, I go and eat at your place all the time, and I notice that there's really not that many people here. I'm a huge fan. Would you be interested if I just took a few videos for you for half the discount, or like for free or whatever? And in exchange, if you love them, here's my package. Or like, if you love them, please refer me to other people. You know, that it's a really nice time to building those connections. Yeah. So the other question we got on Facebook is, if resources and technology are provided, I think this is for all of us.
Yeah.
And then our internet is going slow. So hold. okay. If resources and technology are provided, not a concern, what's your dream movie project that you would like to create? Ooh, you guys start. I'm talking way too much.
Resources and technology, not an issue.
Yes, not an issue.
Do you have an answer?
Sort of.
Do it.
Okay, then you go. I still...
So I've had this loose idea for a little bit, and it's like, I love shows like Mythbusters, and back in the day there was one where it was like Junkyard Wars, where they like created these giant like car machines and stuff like that. But I've always been interested in like kind of like spy versus spy, and people just being creative in like circumstances where they have like, you know, very MacGyver, like a toothbrush, this and that, like you have to escape from prison.
Yeah.
Like some sort of.
Yes, disable a bomb with a dental floss.
Yeah. You know? Some sort of like almost semi reality show where it's like they have to go through these situations, and they're given these circumstances. And it could be like reenacting almost like historical stuff. Like you have to go through the Berlin Wall and hide yourself in this car. How would you do it?
Hmm.
But they can't use the internet. They have to just, like, they can't use any outside resources other than what they're getting at the time. So I guess, to me, that just seems like so much fun to just, like, play like that and see what happens.
Do you see this as a like, doc-style, like a doc-style or, like, a narrative?
It's almost like doc-slash, like, I imagine it like Mythbusters, where it's, like,
a series.
Let's see how, a series, let's see how this would actually work, the process of them making it, and then having to actually act out the, like, all right, we're going to the checkpoint now. Let's see if the dogs, if people can find us.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like if Hunger Games met.
Well, out of Hunger Games, they all just killed each other.
Without any killing.
Yeah.
It would definitely be like kind of Spy versus Spy.
Okay.
In my mind.
I haven't seen Spy versus Spy.
But well, it's what do they call that? There's a term they use where it's like for...
Like in the genre where Mythbusters is?
Craft, what was it?
DIY?
Tradecraft.
Tradecraft.
Oh. Tradecraft. That's the term they use for like spies, like sending messages. Mm-hmm.
And would you have themes for each episode?
Oh, yeah. It could be like the Cold War episode.
Yeah, dude.
It could be...
Yeah. You can even do one like space. You can do some space
you
shit.
You can do
dude.
Like Escape Alcatraz episode. It's just some sort
Russian
of prison
crazy
they have
shit.
To escape.
Yeah, dude.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it seems like really fun to me. The only thing is like I feel like with a show like that you can still get in trouble because you're just teaching people how to do bad things.
Someone says sounds like Survivor Man, but with someone trying to hunt him down. What?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda.
The most dangerous game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
But in my mind, like that just seems like
hi,
that would
John.
Be so fun.
That would be amazing. That would be a lot of fun.
So Discovery Channel out there,
talk
to me.
Fuck yeah.
Yes, Discovery
Trademarked.
Channel. Trademarked. What do you think of?
Well, I mean, growing up, the movies that I love the most are action movies.
Okay.
My first real action movie that I saw that completely blew my mind still to this day is Enter the Dragon. It still blows my mind. And I watched it with my dad. It was like a movie my dad like he's not a big movie watcher, but he definitely likes like them action movies and cop movies and westerns and stuff. But when he put on like Police Story one time.
Yeah.
I grew up with Jackie.
That was like that blew my mind.
Action movies.
Like Police Story, the best action scene was in the third act when he was sliding down that lightning pole.
Yes.
Dude, like I want to do that. Like not me personally, but I want to shoot something that like, you know, like whoever it is. Like I just want to do action movies like that. Like action movies that are crazy practical, safe, but crazy practical.
Oh, okay. Practical stunts.
Practical
like,
stunts.
Guy and stuff.
If there's one, like, if there has to be, like, a from point A to point B, like, in terms of, like, I need to do a little thing, one frame of CGI,
right.
It is what it is, fine. But if I can do it in a practical way, not like in a crazy explosion Michael Bay bullshit type of situation,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, Ip Man. I'm talking about like Ong Bak, Police Story.
Yeah.
Enter the Dragon, just something that's like crazy, not just martial arts, but any fighting style, even boxing. Like it could just be something crazy. Dope Stallone, like Rambo. Like that's dope. Like that's so rad. Like when Dad showed me First Blood for the first time,
you'd be cool just doing art on that, yeah? Or do you want to make it?
I would want to write it.
Okay. Then write it, dude.
Yeah.
See?
That's what I'm trying to write right now.
Okay. Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
I would love to do
Excuse me a second.
I really want to do like a series that is as good or better than Breaking Bad.
Mm.
I love
or like The Sopranos.
Breaking Bad. I think why I really like TV is there's this element of
What do you like more in TV? Directing, writing?
I think I would want to be more on the writing side.
The writing side? So you like in the writer's room? With
I would love to be in the writer's room. I just think the problem with it, I love directing, so I would love to be able to direct. But there are very rare shows where the director is consistent throughout the whole show, you know?
Or they switch directors.
Yeah, they switch directors all the time on TV shows. But I just love the way, for these TV shows, how much you can develop the characters or whatever. Maybe it'd be cool if I could, like, come up with some sort of concept. I was saying that I would love to do something that's equally the same quality or better than Breaking Bad, basically.
Oh.
Because I just think that show is brilliant, and I love creating characters like that. So I would love if I could be a part of the writer's room and also direct it. I don't know if that's common.
On The Mandalorian, that's definitely how they've been operating.
It's really?
All the directors are
all on the room.
It's like collective of like
it's a collaborative.
Writing this episode. And
I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of the writing process, because I think that's just how I've always created. Yeah. I've always had a hand in the writing aspect. And even stuff that people give me to direct, I always want to tweak something or, you know, make it better somehow. Mm. But I think the writing, it's all about the script when you start off with a good story. So, I would want to be in that and affect how the story goes, but I would love to be able to direct it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
that would be
they great. Do in True Detective, especially in season one.
Do they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Did the director get...
Well, he also, like, wrote the episode.
What? I didn't know that. Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm. Because True Detective, basically, each season operates as, like, a mini-series.
It's a mini-series.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Each season.
So, yeah, that's what I...
Yeah.
That's
what that, I that would be rad, too.
That'd be dope. Mm-hmm. Zach Tart says, are there any plans for a deeper dive into Get Realism? Possibly a book on new section. P.S. Hey, Kelly. Can't wait to wait for our next project with you.
Aww. Hi, Zach. we have definitely talked about doing more editions.
Yes.
We definitely want to do a not safe for work one, a more adult one.
Yeah.
We want to do an uncensored one.
Because basically our first one we feel like you can give to a 10-year-old and it's fine. They can learn a lot and use those terms and, you know, we're all good. But there are definitely terms on set. You can't tell 10-year-old.
Basically all of G&E.
The lighting grid.
And don't pretend that's not true.
All G&E and all your dirty terms.
Yeah.
But yeah, we want to do like a totally adult version.
An adult version. And we're also playing with the idea of like the history behind the terms, like how they originated and stuff like that. Because a lot of the terms come from, like, back in the 20s, and, like, when film first started. And Apple Box was literally a crate full of apples that they just grabbed. To,
you know.
So, yes, we do want to do more editions.
Yes. We're definitely, when we do the next order for this current edition, we're going to make some updates as well.
We're going to tweak this book a little bit.
Yes. So, if you have any suggestions. Yeah. Totally.
Yes.
We are always trying to improve. Because obviously we know that we don't know everything. Oh my God.
You guys know everything?
What? But we would love for you guys, if you have the book, to give us any suggestions on how to make it better. Our email is the same, getrealisms@gmail.com. So just email us any suggestions, any things that you want to see added. For example, was Colton, who is a Bad Walrus company, production company here in Austin, G&E. He said, hey, stingers are usually more of the black cords,
right.
And they're actually like the house, the stuff that you see in the house, but they're orange and yellow. Mm-hmm. They usually call them households.
Yes.
So like that, we would totally add that as one of our little side notes in there and some other stuff that we're going to do. So
not all stingers are stingers.
No.
Didn't know that.
Yes, but yes. Please, we are ready for you to take. We're ready to take your money, Zach.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, there are plans.
Yes.
There are plans. Yes. And if you guys know anybody who is interested, like school wise and stuff, we really want to get into schools.
Any programs anywhere, like elementary schools, high schools, just like after school programs, stuff like that. We want to not just like get those books into schools, but we would at some point, if we're able,
donate
books to kids who just love film and want to become a filmmaker, and to just help them out.
Yeah,
so please, send us links to these schools, give us names, give us these schools.
Yeah. Just give it to us.
Give them the tools.
Yes.
Yeah, we made this book because all of us started on indie films. Like we worked from the very bottom and we didn't know anything. And it would have been great if there was a tool like this that made us not feel stupid when we first walked in the set and someone asked us to go grab a stinger. So
yes.
that was the whole idea was that yes, there are plenty of we get it.
We don't want to feel dumb on it.
There are things online you can find, like Grip Dictionary.
Yes.
There's plenty of stuff and we're not saying those aren't great. We love those.
But it sounds like those books are boring.
Hey, no, we're not saying any of that. But This is different. It's different. It has pictures, guys. If you like pictures, that's why our book is awesome.
It was definitely like born of like realizing this is something we could have used, this is something other people could have used, and this was all the terms itself came from learning on set or asking other people on set, like, what is this, how did you learn about this, is there other terms for this, you know? And then you still have to be on set and learn that way. This is just a help.
And boy, nothing makes you feel more stupid than being on your first set. You don't even know how to roll up a stinger. And you just, you learn real quick.
So that's what the whole point is. We're not, we get, this will not replace real set experience. This is just a jump start. This is a way to go on there and be like, oh shit, I read that in a book. I know what that is. I saw a picture. There was like this thing in a wagon and it said, you know, like, so it's making those connections and it's nice. Monkey see, monkey do. And then you also have a guide as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's fun and it's cute and your mom can read it and understand it as well.
Like
I think that's important. We didn't want film to be unaccessible. So.
Yes. That's,
and it can.
That's it. That's
it definitely can. Yeah.
And I know there's people in this industry that don't want any of these secrets to be revealed because they're, you know, but that's, indie films and the way we came is that if you have a story and an idea, you can literally get a few of your friends and make it.
Yeah.
And that's how I always want to see films. Mm. Yes, it is a business. And yes, we do take this very seriously and we are professionals and everything, but it doesn't mean that you can't have fun and other people who are new to it can be a part of it as well. That's just my thought.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you can't share it if you are a filmmaker, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because even the gifted filmmakers knew where that came from.
Yeah. I just think the pie is not a one size. Right. For me,
the pie.
You know what? I'm trying to be sentimental. Okay.
I'm talking about pie
rose. It's a circle. No, it's it the pie can grow.
Yes.
And if we all help each other, the pie can get bigger and we all have a piece of the effing pie. The problem is filmmakers who think that the pie is only so small and there's only limited opportunities and so they're like holding on tightly to the opportunity so that nobody else gets it. And it's stupid. It's like, help other people. They'll help you in the long run. It all comes together. Like, just don't be a dick.
Yeah. Again, this is the paying the value forward.
Pay the value forward.
Mm-hmm. And, help each other out.
Help each other.
Work for free a couple times.
Yes.
And then eventually everyone will make money.
Yes.
Eventually. Doing the things they love.
Yes. And it's real. It happens. We did it. We are doing it.
It's true.
We sometimes still struggle.
Yeah. Example me.
Sometimes more than we'd like to admit.
But, example me.
Well, you're like a little baby still.
I am. I'm like a small child.
You only started like, what, 3 years ago?
Two
years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're complaining?
No, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all. Actually, in fact,
it's been easy for you.
No.
Back in our day.
Well, no. This. Yeah. Well, I know. And I'm not complaining at all. I'm very thankful for everything, especially with what these guys have given me. But this whole quarantine thing has been helpful for me. It kind of shaped. It's as much as I've been struggling, just wanting to go fucking outside and shit, you know, and I had a job. Like, I was set dressing, I was working art department, I was doing it, and now it's just like everything's just kind of like come to a screeching halt, and it sort of just kind of reminded me to just do the thing that I want to do, and I want to do the things that I'm passionate and I'm eager to do while still doing the art department stuff. I always want to do that, and I for some reason I fell into art department and I loved it. So I want to continue to embrace that love, no matter what. But yeah, it's all learning experience. I don't know how we got into that. I don't know what we're talking about. I'm sorry.
Still struggling.
Yeah, we're all still, yeah, you know. Us. You know, one day at a time.
Yeah,
one day at a time, and you know, as long as you maintain that passion for what you love to do, it works out.
It does.
It works out. Trust me. It totally does. Right now, I'm in the middle of it. I'm the prime example.
You're on the up and up, though. People contact me for stuff, so that's good.
Yes, I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for some people to contact me.
Because you're a capybara, everybody likes you.
I don't know about that. I would like to think a lot of people like me, but I know there's probably a few people, at least a couple of my exes, don't like me.
Hey, haters gonna hate. But I think that's an hour.
Yeah. I think we've done more than an hour.
We did more than an hour because Instagram shut us off already.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think I have anything much else to say to you.
No, that was a lot of questions today. That was cool. Good job, guys. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for asking us questions. We were like, oh my god, keep asking questions. So if you didn't get your answers, please just write them on the comments and then we will get to them at the next podcast.
So do we want to talk about that? Like,
sure.
When are you going to come back?
Oh.
When is Christine Chen coming back, Christine?
Nobody cares.
No one cares?
Lies. Lies.
That's pure lies.
For you.
Good God.
No, is this
Kelly and I did an episode last week. We got one.
No kidding.
They're
like, who is this?
Yeah. What's a production design?
Hey, those are very important.
You're so important. Hire Kelly
and
Kenner, for God's sakes.
They're a team.
And Adam. Yes.
Yes.
Adam. I am on set until the end of August. So then after that, hopefully I'll be back on the show. But the show is going to continue. Adam has...
It's just
going to
be with this dumb fool.
A lot of people that he's going to interview. So if you're interested in being interviewed and you're in the film industry, we'd love to have you. So DM
LMK, bro. Slide in my DMs.
Yeah, slide into his DMs. Be creepy about it.
You can. You know, I'm
please
alone.
Please no dick pics.
Please don't. No, I'm good. I'm good on that front. Trust me. Yeah. I mean, we're gonna have guests every week. It's going to be the same format as we're doing right now. And hopefully maybe one time you can call in.
I'll call in from set. Be like,
yeah.
what the fuck? Everybody's bye.
Well, let's cut to Christine on set right now.
Set.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
And Christine, back to you. Everything's fucking on fire. I killed everyone. Back to you, Adam. Thanks, Christine. It's been an episode of Get Realist's podcast.
So yeah, just keep tuning in. We're gonna keep
tuning in, guys.
Stuff. As you know, this is the video portion of it, but we've been releasing podcasts every Sunday at midnight every single week. Just make sure to subscribe, please. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're on most things, really.
Yes.
Yeah, just look for.
And I read somewhere. I read somewhere. If you subscribe on Spotify, if you subscribe to podcasts on Spotify, there is a good chance to be featured on podcast playlists.
Yeah.
So whether it's educational, whether just please subscribe. Yeah. Leave a review.
You can say, like, Adam's a shithead.
You can say Adam's a shithead. He's like, Christine's cool, Kelly's cool, but Adam's a dingus. Like, you know, who cares? That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, so subscribe, please.
Please.
Yeah, go to just look for Get Realisms and on most, I think on all, because I went and like submitted to everything. So it's probably on all.
Pick up your books at getrealisms.com.
Yeah, get a book.
And we have shirts now.
Shirts.
Posters.
Oh my gosh, Adam just got his.
Shirt.
Really,
I got my shirt.
This is the first day I'm not wearing my shirt because it's dirty right now. So.
Like in a pocket.
Look.
Hell
he's
yeah,
part
dude.
Of the team now.
Look at this sickness.
Get your shirt.
And there's posters, too. So
yes.
We have our Film is Life poster. We have our 100 Plus Terms poster.
There's even Film Lingo poster, too, right?
Oh. And we're designing another poster.
No, I'm just going to show you.
Oh.
Original.
Oh, we're going to show you the original.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
To show you.
So this is the original Film is Life. It's but
look at that art, man.
So yeah, there you go.
That's so rad.
Yeah, so she drew that.
Look at that dope slate.
It's super dope.
It looks better in real life. It doesn't look great on camera.
Yeah. So, all right. I guess you got to do your little sign off thing.
Okay, guys, we ran out of podcasts. We ran out of time. So we are signing out here. Hey, guys.
This is the Get Realisms podcast.
This has been the Get Realisms podcast. Find Christine Chen on Facebook. Mott to Flame Films on Facebook. Mott to Flame Films. YouTube.com/MottToFlameFilms. Subscribe there as well.
Yeah.
Get Realisms podcast.
There's way too many.
I was out of breath.
I know. We have too many, like... call to actions. Just go to Get Realism.
Follow us on Instagrams. Go on the Facebooks. Friend us.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
do everything. Okay?
GetRealism.com. That's the only thing. If you can remember anything, just go to GetRealism.com.
Yes.
You can find our bios there too. So if you want to follow us. GetRealism.com.
GetRealism.com. Thanks, guys.
You think they'll
bye.
GetRealism.com. Okay.
Just subliminally.
Bye!
Bye!